When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the Egg Chasers podcast, episode 8. It's episode 8, isn't it?
Think so.
I've got confused now because there was a week of technical problems, fraught with technical issues we were last week, but we are back to normal. And we are, well, I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hi, Tim.
And I'm Phil as well.
Hi, Tim.
And to quote the Daily Telegraph, you are listening to one of the best sports podcasts available. It's energetic, informed, and pleasingly convivial. Just a big question, what does convivial mean? Does anyone know?
I'm not sure. But interestingly, I read that, and you're the closest person I know to being famous. Are we famous now?
I don't think we can go along with that one.
Really? Because I've just dumped my girlfriend.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
You've
just dumped my girlfriend, and I demand access to VIP clubs now. So.
Well, we were on a short list of 5 podcasts that the Telegraph recommended. So thank you to them for that. Thank you for listening. And if you fancy it, how about subscribing? And then you will get this delivered to you. You won't even have to go through the rigmarole of clicking on an episode. But very much appreciate you having a listen. And coming up, we've got some corking stuff on the way. We're going to be talking about the internationals that happened over the weekend, the Premiership as well. Picking a Halloween 15 because it was Halloween last week, and talking about, well, I don't know, is there an issue of drinking and rugby in a negative way? Because obviously there's a good way on a Saturday evening at every rugby club up and down the land. But let's get underway then with the internationals, as we were talking about. Right then, England chalked up a win at HQ.
Just.
Not impressed. Not impressed.
Says resident Welshman JB.
They just looked average. There's been Premiership games this year which I've enjoyed more, to be fair.
Yeah, there was bits of attacking rugby. The best attacking players on the pitch were the two fullbacks, Folau and Brown, and Bruno Pola at 8. He made some great, powerful runs.
It just seemed flat.
Yeah.
I felt it was flat.
But
just uninspiring.
A win is a win. And to come back from 13-6 down, a good turnaround against any team, especially the oldies.
The worst part about it was it kind of undermines the Lions' achievement this year.
I was about to say, surely you can't call a team average beating a side that pushed the Lions, albeit they got hammered in the last test. But
yeah, there is a difference between beating Australia in their own backyard, as the Lions did, and England beating them when they're on the end of their season.
I think this is an Australian team to forget.
I suppose you can point to the fact that Australia are missing some pretty special talent from that back line as well.
Indeed they are.
Yeah, when you look at you could potentially put Leo Leofana, Kirtley Beale, James O'Connor.
And who's that? Beric Barnes as well. All players that would be certainly...
Paul Warwick?
Yeah,
he looked like he was 45.
He looked stressed at the halftime.
Was it Friday that he played?
It was Friday.
Oh,
against,
my God.
It was against Bath, wasn't it?
He did look stressed. He looked like he'd lost his house. And, yeah. You know, he got gambling. He looked awful. Sorry, who missed three kicks in the first half?
Owen Farrell.
Yeah, I said he didn't miss many kicks. Charlie Hodgson. Andy Good.
And if you've listened to previous podcasts, you'll know that JB's on a one-man mission to reinstate Charlie Hodgson as England and Saracens number 10.
Yeah.
He didn't have a bad second half, though, did he, to be fair?
Nah.
Yeah, scoring a try. Although the try itself, well, both tries are debatable because of contentious officiating. So the first one, Mike Brown was in touch when he received a kick on his own 5 metre line. That would have been an Australian 5 metre line out. As it turned out, England a minute later got a 5 metre line out on the Australian try line, and
Robshaw,
it was the charge down kick.
Did anyone feel that the actual atmosphere in Twickenham was a bit flat as well?
I know Clive Woodward did, but I didn't notice it.
I mean, I'm not gonna do the classic idiot Welshman thing and say, "Oh, Twickenham's always flat," because it's not. And when it's really bouncing, it's great. But I just felt the whole experience was just a bit of a dampener.
I thought that it was a pretty good atmosphere with like the 2003 winners there and Bill being paraded around.
Hmm.
Bill.
Hmm.
The World Cup.
What? Is it got a name?
I'm sure people were calling it Bill, weren't they?
Did you know that, Tim?
Well, I had never heard it referred to as Bill, but I like it.
I was thinking Bill Beaumont or someone. I had no idea. What are you on about?
I love it. No, I'll go with that. Should we just mention briefly the high point of the international weekend?
Japan, New Zealand.
No, it came in the England Legends versus Australia Legends. Have you seen Steve Thompson's try?
No.
What? Oh, man. Right, listen, honestly, I will post a link at eggchasers.com, and you're about to witness the joy of JB seeing this for the very first time. Oh, if you haven't seen it, you've got to. Let me get it up for you.
And JB, who played hooker.
Oh, my God.
You played hooker at the weekend.
At the weekend.
Two consecutive starts at hooker now. What a nightmare.
So hold on, JB. So that is now only scrum half is the only position on a rugby field you've not played at a senior level. It was scrum half and hooker. You said scrum half and hooker a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you've not started for the first team. You've not started for the first team.
I haven't started the first team at fly half or scrum half. Everything else I have. Oh, I've played every position in the pack now.
Wow. How'd it go?
Well, last week went all right. This week, not so well.
Right, listen, so England were 12-5 up. It was just about 55 minutes into this game.
It was a 60-minute game as well.
It was a 60-minute game. So this was the dying embers of the match. The players were blowing. It was live on television, and Steve Thompson...
Why are Australia in green?
They must have cobbled it together at the last minute.
Yeah, or I think they're very precious about their kit. Like
I like that.
Plain and gold.
No, I really like that as well. And you'll see, who was it, Lia Leofanu? Who said before he got that test match debut against the British Lions, he said he never, ever wore the Australia shirt.
Never wore gold, like never even replica
or anything. No replica kit.
Is that because he's Fijian or something?
He never wore gold, he never wore a replica shirt because it is so special to him, putting on that jersey.
I've got my own suspicions there, thank you, Tim. moving on from that...
No, let's deal with this Steve
Thompson.
Let's
watch this.
Right, watch this. So for some unknown reason, he found himself on the wing. Have a look.
My word!
And then.
Steve Thompson. This is a rare sight.
Chip it!
Oh, what a beautiful dolly from Steve Thompson!
Oh my God! I imagine that's what it's like watching Greg Wallace play rugby.
I want to see Greg Wallace play rugby now.
Apparently he's quite good, you know.
Really?
Yeah, he's into some rugby club somewhere in London. Yeah, he's a big rugby fan. And a hooker.
The very last little clip on that video is...
Is that Gomesall?
Gomesall
was there. There was Tom Rees, Jason Robinson.
I'm guessing Healy didn't get invited.
Will Greenwood.
Here he goes. Look at that step.
Oh, he's still got it.
Wow.
I don't know who the Australian winger was.
Yeah, who's trying to chase him?
It's a pretty abrupt stop on his dive.
Boom. Bang. Fair play. Look at him go.
Wow. The very last second when Ben Kay utters him like an oxygen mask. It's quite good. There we go.
Ben Kay did after dinner speaking thing after a corporate sevens thing. Him and Healy have got the best double act you'll ever hear.
Really?
They are genuinely really funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, there you go.
We'll have to book them.
Yeah, well, let's book them for the... the trajectory we're on with the Telegraph get minus. It's only a matter of time before the Egg Chasers are doing. One day we will do that, an end of season Egg Chasers dinner.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
One day, that's the dream. Right, so, okay then. Well, just staying with England, but moving sideways slightly, Clive Woodward, who you said was grumbling about the atmosphere at Twickenham, he said England need Danny Cipriani.
That's a weird statement.
It's a very weird statement.
I think basically what he was saying, when you look into what he actually said, was Stuart Lancaster is being a bit too safe and you need to have some players with a little bit of a maverick element.
Now, obviously, Clive Woodward's goal when he was in charge was the World Cup, and I think England's current goal should be the World Cup, the 2015, only 2 years away. Now, if you look back at the tens that have played and won World Cups for the last three tournaments, you've got, well, it was Aaron Cruden and Stephen Donald were playing for New Zealand because of injuries. Butch James played for South Africa against Johnny Wilkinson, and then Wilkinson, obviously, in 2003. They're not exactly, like, exciting tens. They're more consistent, solid.
Butch James wasn't consistent. Would you class Butch?
Well, no. He's not
explosive. I mean, not in, like...
Yeah, explosive defence with no arms.
I absolutely love Butch James.
He's not explosive and exciting. He's not dynamic, is he? He's not going to turn a game on its head.
Yeah, and, like, again, you could say Dan Carter, obviously, like you say, didn't play a full part, but he's got the full package, so to speak.
Yeah.
Michael Leiner was very much, he was brilliant at passing and all the rest of it. He won the World Cup with Australia.
Joel Stransky?
Yeah. Grant Fox for New Zealand in the original World Cup, just a machine at kicking, who got the back line going a little bit. And the South African, when they won in 99, that was Yanni De Beer or something like that.
Well, no, 95. Stransky, was it not?
Joel Stransky. Was it Joel Stransky?
Yeah, De Beer did drop a load of goals, but it was Stransky that won the World Cup.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the point being, I was along similar lines as Phil. They are all really calm, consistent, is probably the word.
Larkham got one, didn't he?
Did he win the World Cup?
It's even like, well, who won it before England?
When John Eales was captain.
Was that 99?
I think it is Gregan Larkham.
Stephen Larkham was the fly half.
Yeah, and
Australia.
He didn't even kick.
Who was kicking?
Burke would have kicked, I imagine.
No, you're absolutely right. Which that would derail the argument, I guess.
Yeah, Woodward kind of contradicted himself because he picked Wilkinson, who was consistent.
Yeah, but Wilkinson was everything.
Well, yeah, true. He was the best player in the world at the time.
Exactly.
You've completely thrown me, JB, because my whole thought on this was built on the fact that you had these consistent guys wearing the number 10 shirt.
Well, Larkham was
for teams that won the World Cup.
Larkham was consistent, just didn't kick.
But he did have that kind of maverick flair, didn't he?
Yeah, he was incredible.
And anomaly. So there's one out of 6, 7.
Clive Woodward's comments, I feel, were a little bit off. Do we agree on that?
Yeah.
A little bit sour, right?
Yeah. Has he got another autobiography coming up anytime soon?
Yeah.
Does
he need a few more million?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Does he see Stuart Lancaster sort of progressing and wants to be the only England coach to have won the World Cup?
Well, here's a quote. I think he might, because he sabotaged him pretty well by leaving Andy Robinson in charge.
Would you have Danny Cipriani in an England squad?
Not at the moment. I think we discussed this a few weeks ago that...
I said I wouldn't have him anywhere near my squad because of who he is. But actually, as a player, he's not doing too badly. I mean, you see him up close pretty much most weeks now. And his defence seems to have improved. He certainly gives a spark. There's no two ways about that.
There's a switch been flicked in his brain. He's sort of turned back on to rugby a bit. I think, like you said, that I don't think it's necessarily that the coaches have taught him how to tackle. I think actually just his mentality, his approach to the game is a bit more commitment and more grit.
Yeah, because he made a phenomenal cover tackle a few weeks ago.
Against Wasps.
His defence wasn't in question at the weekend. What was in question maybe for Cipriani was why on earth he kicked the ball dead when Sale were 2 points behind Exeter. Dan Braid, the Sale Sharks captain, screamed at him, was fuming, and Danny Cipriani, you saw the sort of penny drop, and he obviously lost where he was on the pitch and what was going on for him.
That's not what you want from your 10. Game management should be right up there.
What's the point of international rugby? It's ultimately to go and win Six Nations, maybe. A World Cup, certainly.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see Flood or Farrell winning a World Cup ever.
Do you not reckon?
No, absolutely, 100% not. They've got the most turgid, boring section of 10s ever to play international rugby.
England.
Yeah. I mean, you could throw someone like Dan Bigger in there to really, you know, mix it up with boring tens.
So how much of a better Rant. England team do you think it would be with someone like Johnny Sexton or Dan Carter in the 15?
Well, not necessarily Dan Carter or Johnny Sexton. I would just say Cipriani gives you that chance to win any game, whereas Flood and Farrell give you a chance to win 80% of games. And that's not good enough to win a World Cup.
Well, no, I think that is better to win a World Cup. Like, all of the games are, if you look at the scores from World Cup finals gone by, they're all incredibly close games. Look at 2 years ago, 8-9 to New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And then the England-Australia that was 17-20 at finish.
Yeah, but they're not going to get to the final with Toby Flood or Farrell. It just won't happen.
Oh, I disagree. Like, knockout rugby is such fine margins these days that you've got to have someone who's consistently on top of their game and consistently taking 3 points. Because, unfortunately, that's what it comes down to.
England will never be the best team in the World Cup. If you're the best team in the world, I think you can get away with a consistent playoff. If you're not, you're going to have to try something different. That's what Cipriani is.
Here's what I think England's tactic is, because, yeah, quite rightly, they're not the best team in the world. They're not even in the top three teams in the world. The chances of them at this stage winning a World Cup, you would have to bet against it, although there are green shoots, I think, with some of the young players coming through. But, right, what England can do, as Phil said, is grind out tight matches like they did against Australia by playing territory and having a 10 with game management and consistency, get them in the right area of the pitch, and then grind out penalties and score. It's really boring, but that's
how World Cups are won, though.
Well, can I give you a great example of the opposite, which was Dan Carter's all-conquering Crusaders team. With Metronomic Dan at the helm, getting beaten by a Queensland's Reds team, which everyone thought had no right to even be there, and that was all based on the genius of Quade Cooper.
Yeah.
So I mean, if they just get hot at the right time with the right talent, who knows?
Well, I'll go along with what Phil says in that if he keeps this new leaf, which seems to have been turned over, and shows a bit of consistency, it would be useful to have him in the squad. I actually think Danny Cipriani firing, I'd rather have in the squad than Freddie Burns, who kind of does the same thing.
Yeah. Any other English fly half who can really play a ball well. Actually, I'm not going to go here. Okay, I will.
Andy Good.
No, Ryan Lamb.
I love Andy Good.
Ryan Lamb's got a great wide game. But, he misses everything else. I don't know why I mentioned Ryan Lamb.
You gave some great arguments and some great suggestions until that
moment. Hey, guys, what about Ryan Lamb? Shut up, Jay.
But I'll tell you what, let's go from one fly-off to another. James O'Connor is now in the English game. Well, brilliant is that? To have him, he's been signed up till the end of the season by London Irish. Well, I mentioned another fly-half, but he has been signed, and Brian Smith is going overboard to emphasise they're playing him at full-back. I think that's where James O'Connor wants to play.
Yeah.
He looked awesome.
He looked very good.
Absolutely spectacular.
He was pretty much every time beating the first man or first couple of men and making yards, offloading. He looked very comfortable against what is a very good Northampton team that took Saracens apart last weekend.
All they needed, really, was for one of those offloads to come off. I mean, maybe he was careless with the ball.
One did, but they wanted another one.
Yeah. But every time he's getting the ball, he looked great. Really exceptional player.
Interestingly, James O'Connor said that he found that game a step up in terms of pace from Super 15 rugby.
I find that very surprising.
Maybe in terms of pace. I mean, it depends what you mean by pace. I mean, does it mean like how fast the ball is moved away from the breakdown, or how fast the forwards are ploughing into rucks? You know,
there was also another surprising comment from Brian Smith. Just because it was a ridiculous statement, he said, "I'll find the actual comment."
He said, "James O'Connor had a great game. We're all going to go out and get bladdered."
No.
James is staying in, of course.
James has assured me he'll be at the team meeting on time and not drunk. James is, in fact, a part-time Justin Bieber lookalike. No?
Here we go. None of those excellent suggestions, Cocker. He said he's 23 and still just a kid who gets up in the morning and puts his trousers on one leg at a time like everyone else.
We've actually got a lad called Mark McConnell in Broughton Park who jumps into his shorts. So, don't know what I mean. So,
like everyone else apart from
Mark McConnell. So he can pipe down.
That is a good trick, actually.
It's incredible.
Brian Smith may as well have just like had James O'Connor next to him and patted him on the head. like a dad.
It's incredible that he's 23 and he's got 44 international caps.
That's
it. Wow.
Yeah. The latest news story about James O'Connor that have happened in the last couple of hours. James O'Connor's been reportedly spotted in Toulon 24 hours after his London Irish debut. So he's already potentially being poached by London Irish South. After
London Irish on sea.
On the same day that London Irish West fullback
Anthony Watson
has been called up into the full England international squad.
He has been spotted having discussions.
James, why break our hearts? Why play with us? Hang on a minute. I wonder how Halfpenny feels about all this.
We've still got Dylan Armitage.
Goodbye, Dylan. See you around, mate.
Yeah, James O'Connor and Lee Halfpenny.
Competing
for 15.
I assume they'd only go for one of them.
They can afford two. Why not?
Don't know.
Jay, do you want the Lamborghini or the Ferrari? You can have both.
That's interesting breaking news.
Good Lord, imagine that back line with O'Connor, who can play anywhere. Oh, my God.
Nothing like that happens by accident, does it? It's like O'Connor was photographed at the training ground.
He was spotted at the training ground handling a large envelope full of cash, stuffing it down his trousers, which he put on one leg after the other. Cheers, Brian Smith.
Unless it was Justin Bieber on tour in the south of France.
Did he have a pet monkey?
That's the only
distinguishing feature. One has a monkey.
We'll wait for a development on this. But, of course, James O'Connor, the reason he was released by the Australian Rugby Union early this year was due to an issue which involved alcohol. And that's not the only story in 2013 involving rugby players and alcohol, and most recently Mike Phillips.
Yeah,
right.
He has been confirmed that he's been sacked by Bayonne because there was a little bit of speculation that it was announced and then the club denied it and then it was re-announced.
They have fined and suspended a couple of other players that were involved in the incident, but they've completely sacked and terminated the contract of Mike Phillips.
Wow. Yeah.
Just another one. It's slightly off topic. Oh well, it's rugby league. Gareth Hock.
Yeah.
So that's three in the last couple of months. Three very high profile, all internationals who've had bans or suspensions because of alcohol.
This is my take on the drinking thing. I like a drink as much as the next guy. You and I, Phil, and you, Tim. We all know guys that drink an awful lot through rugby. However, I've never met a guy ever that drinks on a work day and goes to work drunk. I can imagine they've gone in hungover.
There's a stag do over the summer where I was just coming back from a shoulder injury and I shouldn't really have been playing. This is last summer. And so we've been out on the Saturday night and the game was on the Sunday afternoon. Just to cement the fact that I wasn't playing, I decided to have a couple of cans over breakfast.
That'll go well.
And then a couple more. And after I'd had about six or seven cans, I was like, you know what? I'm actually feeling all right.
I think I'll be all right, yeah.
I ended up playing 18 minutes.
Do you mean, coach? Give me a shot. But I just can't see. Like, they said as well, the turn another one to show up drunk, allegedly, was referee.
Bryce Lawrence.
No, bigger idiot.
I was going to say, take your pick.
No, the biggest idiot.
Wayne Barton, no.
No, bigger,
oh,
bigger.
Oh, the one that...
stratospherically.
The French one.
No, oh. Bigger.
Not Romain Poit, no.
Oh.
Not Alan Rowland.
No! What's his name? The guy.
Nigel Owens. I can't think of any other referees.
Nigel Owens.
Nigel Owens is the
Craig
best ref on
Joubert?
The planet. No,
is it not Bryce Lawrence?
No. It's the other guy.
Is it the guy that's got the sort of
yes.
side parting? That,
no.
The big New Zealand guy?
Yes.
What's that guy? The big New Zealand chap?
Oh, he's an idiot.
No, not Glenn
Steve
Jackson.
Walsh.
Steve Walsh, that's it.
Yes.
Right. Steve Walsh, such an idiot that after he got kicked out, he went over to Australia to ref a few games there and went right to the top of the refing tree. He's got a tattoo down his arm saying, he controls himself, controls the game. Really, Steve? Really? Really? So if it were, like when he refs now, he refed it twice with this stupid tattoo, which he'd put up. You know, every time there's a penalty, it was very prevalent.
Oh no!
Yeah, so he's like that.
Has anyway, he been forced to wear long sleeves?
No, he's been forced to wear a plaster. That'll teach him. Can he not control himself by not getting a tattoo? That would be more impressive.
Wow.
But again, I just don't believe people have a few shots of vodka in the morning and then turn up to Western Force training.
No, but if you are that hungover the next day that is like affecting whatever, or meaning that you're not turning up or late, yeah, or like James O'Connor was...
it's not acceptable.
...stopped from getting on a flight.
That must be drunk.
That's pretty...
might be drunk.
No, I do still think that there's a place for like the social side of rugby, but even at the top level, team bonding, that kind of thing, at the right time when it's organised and when it's like it's not every week. There was quite a good story on the England Legends game. I don't know if you saw the kind of post-match chat with Gomersall and Will Greenwood and Stirling Mortlock. And because Gomersall was in the World Cup squad but didn't make the 22 for the match day.
Oh, he's awesome, actually, yeah.
And they were having a chat with him about that. I think Greenwood said, what was in those water bottles? Because apparently they were seen on the sideline with, the big Lucozade sports bottles. And he said that it was vodka and Coke, basically, in most of them. But they said that because they were right on the side of the pitch, like in the stand, and they're all pretty merry, one of the water bottles, the magic water bottles, dropped down onto the pitch and Jason Leonard went to pick it up. And everyone's like, no, no. The fumbus.
It's one of the great things about rugby is the social side of it, and we're not trying to glorify alcohol or anything like that.
No, in moderation.
Speak for yourself. I mean, that's what they're known for. That's what rugby matches we're going to watch. They're renowned for playing in the club. They're renowned for.
That's one thing I do like about rugby is no one frowns upon teammates winning a match and then going out and getting absolutely plastered.
There is something in that, actually.
If there was footballers, I think, and you saw a picture of someone get, you know, staggering home at 4 in the morning after a win, people would somehow go, oh, that's unprofessional, all the rest of it. And rubbish, frankly.
Yeah.
You're allowed to look after your body all that time and have that discipline, and then you have a big win, fine, go for it, have a night out with the boys.
Yeah, no, you've got a night off.
In my day job, I work in financial services, and I was speaking to a guy who's speaking to another guy who deals with some football players from a very large club from around the Manchester area. And apparently one of the games that they used to play was they'd all go out on a night out, and the guy who brings the least cash on the night out pays for the night out.
I've heard that as well.
That is a tremendous game.
Seriously?
Yeah. So maybe that's why people don't like footballers drinking. I don't know.
But actually, you once told me a stat that €1 million will fit inside a cereal box.
Yes, that's right. €1 million in 500 euro denomination notes will fit inside a cereal box.
So you could have footballers on a night out with that
cereal box,
that quantity of cash. So cereal, like a little Louis Vuitton bag or whatever the kind of crap that they carry around with them.
So if you see Joe Hart with some golden Grahams,
get him.
Just stick by him. You'll have a good night. Right, so there we go. That's it. That's drinking put to bed. So that's drinking dealt with. Now we are going to pick another dream team. A Halloween 15. It was Halloween since our last podcast. Did you get bugged by trick-or-treaters knocking on the door?
No.
I was training.
Not, yeah, so
no idea. Training.
What was I doing?
Training.
You've been training.
It was Thursday night.
It's training.
Well, there you go. So we've had our Halloween 15. I thought, let's pick a team of rugby players, a 15, 1 to 15, a team of players who would be least likely to need a Halloween outfit to go trick-or-treating. So, the scariest looking rugby players.
Yeah. I'd say so.
Most intimidating, scary.
Right.
So if we go 1 to 15 then.
Let me kick it off with Graham Rowntree.
Yes. Those ears.
Yeah.
Yes. Magnificent specimen.
Great scrimmager. And good coach as well.
Apparently he's a fantastic coach.
Yeah, but those ears.
In fact,
I think he definitely... Sorry, go on. In fact.
I was going to say, you'd probably make an argument for Rowntree, Cockerell and Garforth.
All three.
Yeah. That Leicester trio, yeah.
They are horrendous looking men, in a nice way.
I think, although Cockerell, he doesn't, you know, he looks better now than he did as a player. Mm. I think, actually, Graham Rowntree is a great shout, and he would pick my suggestion, which was going to be Guthrow Steenkamp.
He's a weird looking fella.
Big South African, yeah. He is a scary looking fella, isn't he?
He's a strange looking fella.
He's an awful looking man.
I don't think he's a particularly good prop either, is it?
They've got a lot of caps for South Africa, haven't they?
Anyway. Yeah.
Another prop is because his face looks like it's made of rubber to me. Looks like it's already
latex.
A Halloween mask. Yeah. Mako Vunipola. He looks like he's aged. He looks like he's had a very hard life so far.
I know. I want to see that passport. There's lots of rumours about South Sea Islanders and questionable passport.
21.
Details.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, Mako Vunipola from Transylvania. He does have a kind of a gargoyled look.
Yeah. And another prop, just because of his name.
Go on.
The Beast.
Which one?
What?
Sorry. I thought you were talking about hookers then. Sorry, I'm all over the
Beast.
Show.
The Beast.
Yes, that's a fair shout.
Paul James.
Oh, he looks dreadful now.
James, the Wales and Bath prop.
And that's reminding me of Craig Mitchell, the Wales prop.
Oh, God, no, is it? No, Yap is a pretty nasty-looking
one. Yeah. Well, Yap's intimidating, but I don't think he looks as bad as Mitchell.
What about the recently retired Duncan Bell?
Oh, yes.
Just a I mean, he make the big head 15 that we keep talking about doing one day.
Duncan Bell looks like the kind of nice guy that would dress up as Santa around Christmas.
Yeah, he's too friendly.
He's too jolly.
Jolly fat guy.
I'd like to meet Duncan Bell. He seems like a great guy.
He'd definitely be wearing a Hawaiian shirt if you meet him.
I'd say so. Or driving a truck.
Chris Budgeon would be a scary man
perfect.
He wouldn't actually be able to knock on the door. He'd have to headbutt the door because his arms are too short to actually knock.
Yeah, if you went up to like a ghostly manor and knocked on the door and Chris Budgeon in a suit opened it, you're at the right place.
Are there any hookers then? Steve Thompson. Steve Thompson.
Yeah, in that match as well. Savat.
William Savat.
The contrast between him and Zarzewski.
Wow.
Steve Thompson for looking, said himself he looked like the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, that's a good point.
We'll stick with that for our front row. As ever, you can make your suggestions and tell us if we're right or wrong and who deserves a shirt more. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter or eggchasers.com. Second row, I bet we all agree on one name.
Go on.
Yes, I know who you're going to say.
Well, go on, you say it.
You say it.
Leo Cullen.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Captain.
Yeah. Poor Leo.
Go to bed now, kids.
He's won the Heineken Cup twice. He's lifted it.
Three times. Three times in 4 years.
How about with Leicester? We know he's won it with Leinster.
Yeah, he won it three times with Leinster.
And he played for Leicester.
So he's got pedigree. He's got some serious pedigree, but he's got the ultimate pedigree when it comes to a Halloween 15. I think we're both all in agreement that he's a captain.
Go to bed, kids, or Leo's coming. Here's Leo.
The second row partner, potentially Steve Borthwick.
Oh, no. I don't know if it's just because I fear him as a man and as a player. Martin Johnson is terrifying. He is terrifying.
He's got that. I think there's exactly what you picked up on, Phil, with Mako Vunipola. He's got that sort of plasticine face.
Oh. Yeah, age beyond his years.
I'll go with that. Jono and Leo Cullen. But again, everyone seems to have a Leicester connection at some point.
Well,
big
of course.
Big Leicester.
That's why they're so successful.
Into the back row.
Neil Back.
I'm amazed you didn't put Jack Berger first. Every bit of his face is pointing in a different direction.
He has got a phenomenal face. Did he tackle with his face? Is that his primary tackling weapon?
And in terms of back row, Phil Waugh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We mentioned him the other week.
What a strange looking man. But lovely guy.
He looks, he's a bit like the jolly fat guy, I think.
No. Do you know what I reckon? He's sinister. Yeah.
Yeah, let's just be really clear. We're making absolutely casting no aspersions on these guys. They're all elite athletes and fine rugby players.
Well,
and great men, but we are just celebrating.
We're putting them in a Halloween rugby team. I mean, that's quite a big statement.
It's purely based on the way that they look.
Yeah, there is no. Okay, fine.
Mamuka Gorgodza. Is terrifying.
He's a terrifying man, yeah. Yeah, he's got a gargoyle-esque kind of look, hasn't he?
I can imagine him carrying a club. And I mean, in like the Halloween
living
thing,
under a bridge.
Yeah. I can almost imagine him, because he's such a massive man, being the kind of man who slays monsters. That kind of guy.
Well, we could do Gorgodza as 8, put Jacques Berger at 6.
Jacques Berger, Phil Waugh, Mamuka Gurgodza, back row. That's a fine back row.
Yeah.
It is
now, now our job gets difficult, gents, because we've got to try and pick a Halloween 15 from the pretty boys in the backs.
Scrum half might be difficult. Rupert Moon.
move on. Let's move on. Done.
What about Peter Stringer?
Oh, Peter Stringer!
How could you forget Peter Stringer?
Goodness me.
He's having a great season as well, isn't he?
Wow, isn't he just? Because I also Rupert Moon with the name Moon, Full Moon, all the rest of it. There's loads of politicians. Yeah.
Rupert Moon's in. Fly what? Half then. Have we already decided it's going to be Neil Jenkins?
Neil Jenkins, yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Move
the
on.
Only man that can push him close is Andy Goode.
Andy Goode.
But not close enough.
No.
Nah.
No. That's a brilliant pair of halfbacks there. Rupert Moon and Neil Jenkins.
Well, actually, you say it's a brilliant pair of halfbacks. You've got to remember, I've actually watched them play and they weren't a brilliant pair of halfbacks.
OK, then into the centres. I bet there's another name we've all thought of for a centre.
On three? Should we say,
One, two, three.
Mike Tindall.
I've written specifically Mike Tindall's nose.
It's almost impressive how far across his face is no
well, from one side to the other as well.
Yeah.
Who else is really frightening in the centres? I mean, sure, there's loads, but
Shanklin.
Oh, well done.
Oh yeah, I like Shanklin as well. That's a great suggestion.
Great player.
Let's go with that then. Shanklin and Tindall as a centre pairing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting into the outside backs
and getting tricky.
Gareth Thomas.
I had Gareth Thomas.
Oh, my God. Like,
it's scary.
If you look at him with his top off, and there are plenty of pictures of that now.
now.
If you look at him with his tattoos, he looks like he's a member of the occult or something.
Oh, yeah, he has got loads of tattoos.
Yeah, he's got, like, silly, like, mafia, Russian mafia stars and all sorts of crazy stuff going on.
Done. Luke Rooney is one. That's got a,
who's Luke?
Luke Rooney? The guy who's played Stade Français? See, look, that's Gareth Thomas. And look at his tattoos. In fine shape, though.
It's
the one of the star which really gets me on his elbow. Why do you want a star on your elbow?
He's in good shape, though.
Yeah, he is. Airbrushed?
Possibly.
Mm. Right, I'm about to show you a picture of Luke Rooney, which has been it's been done by a professional photographer. He's trying, and it's like a photo shoot shot. So he's trying to look. I think he's played for Melbourne Rebels as well. He's trying to look as good as he possibly can. So this is as good as Luke Rooney could ever possibly look. I'll show you two pictures. This one, firstly.
Oh, ooh. God.
Second one. action shot.
He looks like a filter feeder.
He does, I know what you mean. The fish.
Yeah. Banahan.
I'm not content with putting Banahan in.
No, neither am I actually looking at him.
No.
He's not quite there. I mean, this is the story of Banahan's life, isn't it? He's not quite there.
Doesn't quite make the cut.
Yeah. Oh, good night. yes. I can't remember his name. Yes. Oh, Irish
him.
Winger, tall, massive. Shane Horgan.
Shane Horgan. Yes.
15.
Shane Horgan, you're in. We sat next to a woman, Jay, at a Man City match, whose ex-boyfriend was Shane Horgan. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do actually.
She's now dating
Duffy. Send them on Duffy.
Some guitarist from some
The Cult.
The Cult. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, she was nice. I enjoyed her company.
And I bet you if we look, in fact, I bet you if we look.
AJ, her name's AJ.
Yeah, it is. Hi, AJ.
Call me AJ.
Anytime. Look at that mismatch. Leo Cullen's wife.
Let's have a look. Oh, my word.
She's lovely.
Wow.
Hang on a minute. She's terrified.
Is she being held against their will?
Quite literally. He's got a book called Leo. That's a book launch.
He has. He's got a book.
I wouldn't mind reading that. I'm not going to read it.
Unlike normally with autobiographies, you skip straight to the photographs.
Yeah.
maybe not with that.
Why are there no photos in this?
But what a distinguished, brilliant career he's had, as of all the players. And what a brilliant Dream Team 15. If you want to make a comment and agree or disagree with any of them, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter and eggchasers.com.
That's right.
I just thought of one that could have got in the front row. Fran Cotton could have made it into the front row.
Yes, he could have.
See, there's always names that we've missed. Get yours in. Something a bit lighthearted to finish off on today's podcast, and a return of rugby okey.
Yes.
With a slight difference. It's taken us all by surprise. No one, not one of us, thought that this would take on the life that it has taken. And it all started. Do you remember what started it? Rugby okey?
Alex Corbisiero. Oh, it is Corbisiero, right?
Yeah, Alex Corbisiero rapping. Let's go back to where it all began. Rugby players and their secret love of having a sing-song, or in the case of Corbisiero, a rap.
Keep it kind of quiet, people on a diet. Scrum is straight, term is right, I don't deny it. Test me, try it, style you don't buy it. I'ma grab the microphone and start to fly it. Up, up, high, grab the mic and make you cry. Told you before, we represent L.I. London Irish, you can't deny this. So, so sick, attendance, you can't buy this.
Have we played that in every episode so far?
Yeah.
Most song, rightly so.
Most songs get old, don't they?
Yeah, that's getting better every time I listen to it.
It's a grower, without a doubt. But it's with London Irish we stay. Well, I mean, we've gone from Alex Corbisiero's rap, Matt Stevens singing on X Factor and on Rugby Tonight.
Ben Foden.
Ben Foden on his own Flutie website.
Oh, by the way, we've got a Christmas special for Ben Foden. I can't wait for Christmas just to unwrap my Ben Foden present.
We still haven't had any contact from Carl Ferns, Bath's back row player, who we have on good authority does a mean Michael Bublé impression. We need evidence of that.
Oh, did we not get a tweet from Carl Ferns?
We have got a tweet from Carl Ferns saying he'd be up for it.
He'd be up for it.
And the secret contact, which I mentioned, that says he knows Carl Ferns, has confirmed that he will do it. So we just need to get that recorded and done.
Well, good to hear from you, Carl, at Rugby Podcast. Carl Ferns has been getting in touch with us. Yes, that's our mission. By the end of the year, we want Carl Ferns doing Michael Bublé, if not before. But we're actually going to stick with London Irish. Now, this is a host of London Irish players who have taken part in doing what some clubs have done and coming up with a club song, an official club song. And before I do this, I've actually got this from London Irish. Well, I've got some spies in the camp at London Irish, as you know.
Indeed.
I may well have a brother that plays there. And I know that he was one of the people that got roped into singing this. And basically what happened was they were going to do this song. Some people, they needed to make up the choir, and they just ended up giving that duty to all of the new boys at the club. So it was Matt Parr, Alex Lewington, Nick Rouse, and Solosi Tangi Thakinbau was meant to do it, but was mysteriously late and missed that appointment.
How convenient.
So you're hearing...
James O'Connor miss it.
James O'Connor, he wasn't there at the time, but I'm sure he would have loved it.
Too long club song.
Yeah. Well, you'll be able to do what's the Toulon pre-game thing? The Pilou.
That's Pilou? Awesome, that is.
That's brilliant. We'll get onto that in a second. Yeah. This is London Irish's new club song.
What?
And you hear the London Irish players. There they are.
Fight for the shamrock and the sword.
Warriors. What, sorry?
Warriors.
What's the Warriors?
No. We get knocked down and we get back up. There you go. That's London Irish's club song.
This is what happens, right, when you have a 50-year-old white man in charge of marketing.
What was the purpose of that? What's their aim with that?
Well, I think after the long and successful run of other club songs, like the Liverpool song, the United song, John Barnes, did he do some rap?
For
New Order. That was a great song.
That's not bad, actually.
That's an awesome song.
It's not awesome.
It's not as good as Alex Corbisiero's rap.
No, nothing. In fact, if we could get... That's the other dream for the Egg Chasers, to get Alex Corbisiero versus John Barnes in a rap.
Oh, my word. Imagine that.
If someone can mix that for us.
So what do you make? We've got some of the London Irish players there taking part in that. This all right, isn't it? They've got themselves an anthem. Is it
why?
That?
Why? I don't see the point.
Do they have to play that tune in the half-empty... Well, half-empty, they'd be lucky. Medeski Stadium to get them sick. This just is such a... It's odd.
Is it not to fire them up before the game in the changing rooms?
It'd make me angry. That's for sure. It's weird.
If we look at the... Because Worcester Warriors did this.
Why? Why? I just don't understand.
But this is part of a wider issue. Is there a single good rugby song? Because actually...
Other than UB40.
Swing Low Sweet Chariot.
The worst song of all time.
God, that was horrible. But genuinely, have rugby fans, have supporters got a problem coming up with a decent song? And maybe this is part of the reason why clubs feel compelled to make these official songs. Because when you go to any ground in the land, if you go to the AJ Bell Stadium in Manchester or Salford, what do you get? Sale.
Now, I don't
you go to King's Home, Leicester. Baths at the Rec. I used to live in Bath, and I all they do is go, Bath.
Exeter. Chief.
Exeter have got that.
Oh yeah, that is good, actually.
Which is quite good. I just want to give a little bit of credit to some Sale Sharks fans because they did try something different. They do a thing now when someone knocks it on, they do the French national anthem.
Oh, they've been doing that in Millennium Stadium for ages.
Millennium Stadium, yeah. I know, lots of places have done it. He knocked it on. He knocked it on, and it worked quite well against the French team they played, Biarritz.
And actually, it was a horrible game.
Was a horrible game, lots of knock-ons.
At uni, we had there was a social team that played on Saturday or Sundays. One person would always bring a speaker system, cassette player, to the match to play sounds during the game. So you'd have circus music if someone knocks it on. So
nice.
And a casualty theme tune for when someone was injured.
That's great.
When the air ambulance is laughing.
Right, because I am the match announcer at Sale Sharks. I am going to I'm going to go straight to Brian Kennedy and say, BK, come on, let's get it done. I found another one here. Here We Go is an official song for Saracens.
Here
we go.
Oh,
dear. My God.
Here we go.
Young and old. Oh, there's Matt Stevens again. London's northern soul. Yeah. He can't help himself, can he? The big bad wolves are in
town and we'll howl at the Warrington. Moon while we knock you around. I like the clown music.
I think we've got a problem in the game of rugby. We've been debating all these issues in rugby. This is the biggest pressing issue.
And it was right there in front of our noses.
Wow. What's going on, guys?
Well, for start, it's an English rugby problem, not a Welsh rugby problem. That's the first thing. Because I would like to say that the Welsh actually do singing in rugby games very well.
Do you know a Welsh male voice choir?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. There is no finer sound at a rugby game. I agree with that.
Yeah. And also, the Welsh have got the hymns. And actually, the English, to be fair, have got a hymn. That's how rugby songs should be done. This is nonsense.
Yeah, this is awful.
Should we hear how they do it in Ireland?
No. Oh, go on then.
Oh, yeah.
This is Munster. They've got a song which they play at Thomen Park before every single game. And that's a venue that's known for its unique atmosphere. So, and visiting teams often say it's a really terrifying place to go and play. So this is the song at Munster. Hold on, do you want to hear the official one or do you want to hear the Munster players singing it?
Munster players.
Oh, no.
Right, this is the Munster players singing it in the dressing room after a game. And goodbye until you hear the bell.
Stand toe to toe, train low for low. Oh, I'm enjoying this. Keep watching till you make your punches tell. And show that crowd what you know. Until you hear that bell, that final bell. Stand up and fight like hell. I love this.
Fire you up. If you had 20,000 people singing that, that'd do the business.
That is awesome.
Compare that to Saracens. Oh. Here we go. Boom, boom, boom. Here we go. No. There is no comparison, is there?
I'm gonna listen to that again as soon as I get home. That's incredible.
It's good, eh?
That's so much better. The other thing about the Irish too is they're not immune to these new songs. I mean, I was going to say maybe that song's better because it's slightly older or whatever. But didn't someone fairly famous write the song which Ireland play?
Yeah.
What's it called again? Ireland's Call.
Yeah. Well,
now, that's
well,
also
well,
a great,
Call.
Great song.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so
good,
it can be done.
That is a brilliant anthem as well.
So, are we going to start up a campaign then? You know, Jamie Oliver's got schools. Right. What are the other ones? There's Campaign for Real Ale.
Mm-hmm.
Campaign for Real Singing.
Real Singing.
I think that's fair.
I quite like that.
The Campaign for Real Singing. And we should going to name and shame every club which does these stupid songs.
Saracens, I think, well, for me, the worst of the lot.
Yeah, that was dreadful.
What an earth.
But they were champions that year, so...
It's still not acceptable.
Mm. Slightly bittersweet there at the end. The beautiful sounds of Munster, the shocking sounds of Saracens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether we're sort of happy or sad that this podcast is coming to an end, but...
I'm just happy I'm Welsh right now. You two should be ashamed.
We will be back on Friday for the shorter podcast where we preview the weekend's matches. The international games will take the centre stage for that one. So do download the one on Friday and have a listen. Thank you very much for listening to this one. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, you can get in touch with us all through the week. Give us your thoughts and get involved. And eggchasers.com. Nice one, JB. Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Should we be... Right, here's a choice. We could either...
Munster.
You want to be sang out by Munster?
Yeah, I want to hear that again. Yeah. I'm going to learn that song. I'm going to sing it.
Right, we're going to be played out by the Munster boys in the dressing room after a victory, singing their stupendous song, Stand Up and Fight. We'll see you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.